Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool internet talk radio station. Hope you're having a great day today, and always I hope I can make it better for you, because I'm going to be answering a lot of listeners' questions today. Thank you guys for emailing me at Gmail. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Had a lot of questions coming through the pike from you guys from the last, 3 weeks or so. So what I try to do is help you out. I'm not your therapist. We do not have a therapeutic relationship. But what I try to do is give you some suggestions, things that I've learned throughout my practice, throughout the time I've spent trying to help folks out. And my own life experiences. You know, I give you suggestions, ideas on what kind of works sometimes, what kind of makes up for healthy relationships and for a healthy brain, and just to make you a little more peaceful and feeling good in your life. Okay? So those are some of the biggies we're going to be covering today, because I thought I would take from some of the emails and go with some of the most general issues that I hear every day in my office. If you were a fly on the wall, you'd know a lot of stuff, I hope, because, you know, we all have stuff. Everybody that comes in says, well, I know that, you know, we all have issues, but I think mine is a lot worse. Or am I crazy? There's something wrong with me. I'd feel this way or I feel that way. So, you know, sometimes when we hear other people, and I share with you other people's fears and expressions, you go, hey, you know what? Wow, I think I'm a little better. I'm not that bad. I thought I was a lot worse. Or, you know, it feels good just to know that other people are really feeling the same way you feel. That you're not alone. You're never alone. So that's what we're doing today. And if you have a question or comment and you'd like to email me, you can do so. Cool. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's Dr. Michelle here. And again, thank you guys. I'm going to be, just sort of changing up the names here of people who emailed me because they want to keep confidential. So that's cool with me. And I've already contacted you guys and let you know that I'm going to be helping you out. All the folks who wrote me in the specific emails that I'm going to be addressing. So today we're going to be talking about the general stuff that I hear all the time, and hopefully, you know, it'll make you understand yourself a little bit better, and I'm going to give you suggestions. So we're going to be talking about how to communicate better with people in your life, your partner, your relationships in general, family stuff. Also, how to deal with guilt. Jake wrote me about his feelings of guilt that he has. I think we all have that sometime. I hope. It's kind of a good thing, sort of, but not too much, you know, keeps us in line. Also, we're going to be talking about how to manage anger and why anger can be good and bad for you. Also, I have some questions from folks who wrote me about just how to be a more peaceful and happier person in life in general. So I just have some ideas about things that have worked for other folks. So I'm not telling you specifically what you need to do. Again, not your therapist here, but trying to just give you some ideas. So let's get rocking here with some of the emails I received. I wanted to start out with one of the most common things I hear in my practice. And it's about communication and really working on issues with your partner or your family. But really, I see a lot of couples. They come in and they kind of do their thing in front of me. And I watch the way that they communicate with each other, because this is really clearly how we as psychologists can get a clue about what might be healthier, the way people talk to each other. So I thought, hey, let's start off with one of the most important things in our lives, because all we have is good communication with other people. So this is from Gabby, and she says, I believe it's a girl, Gabrielle, possibly, maybe a guy, but I think it's Gabby. She says, my partner and I have been through couples therapy for several months. But he always makes it out like it's all my fault in our sessions. She says, I'm guilty of arguing a lot with him and trying to prove myself, but that's when he starts yelling at me, and I feel that I have to defend myself, and I argue and yell back. Could you suggest some things that I can do to help us communicate better? Stop arguing. No. Look, conflict is kind of good sometimes in a relationship, Gabby. It's inevitable. We all have our differences. Conflict isn't really a problem, but it's how it's handled. So conflict, differences, can bring people together, agree to disagree, understand each other, or it can tear you guys apart. So what you have to do is learn good communication skills. And sometimes it's really hard. I know you want to defend yourself, as you said. You want to argue back. You're hurt. It's all about pain and anger and feeling sad. And you want to defend, because what that person is saying to you is hurtful and not true. And vice versa, by the way. So I'm going to give you just some quick and dirties here about how to, you know, just talk a little better with your partner. Learn these skills. And it may help you a little bit, so write them down. Or, of course, if you want to listen to the show again, there'll be up in the archives all this information, after we get off the air. Okay? So you can replay, download the show, and go through it again and again. So if you can't take a note or type this in your notes, just listen to what I say. Which brings me to the first thing that I always suggest for couples. Listen carefully. A lot of times, you know, Gabby, we think that we're listening. We think we're listening, but we're really thinking about what we're going to say next when the other person stops talking. Come on. How many times have you done that? Right? So come on, be in the present if you can, because really effective communication goes both ways. And I know it's tough sometimes because you don't want to hear what your partner is saying, but don't interrupt. Don't get defensive. Just hear them, nod your head, and reflect back what they're saying so they know you've been heard. So what does reflect mean? So your partner says, you're so mean to me when you tell me to do all these chores around the house and I'm tired of it because I feel like, you know, I'm your slave and you're a bully. Okay? Just listen. Don't be defensive. So you reflect back when you say, wow, so what you're saying to me is that you think I'm a bully? And what you're saying to me is you feel like this and you feel... So you're letting them know that you've heard them. So reflect back to them what you're getting from them. All right? Just let them know that you're hearing them. And then hopefully they'll say, yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, but I'm saying more. So keep clarifying it until you really get it. And if you don't get it, just listen. All right? Honestly, if you try to see someone else's point of view, because we usually want to be heard and understood, you know, we talk a lot about our point of view, Gabby, and that's we try to get the other person to see things our way, and that's normal, you know. But if we do this all the time, there's little focus on the other person's point of view. Nobody feels understood. So try to really see the other side. Try to sort of have empathy and understand how other people feel. Even though you don't kind of get it, you can ask more questions until you do. Why do you feel like that? Wow, I didn't know I was coming off like that. Well, I'm so sad that you're kind of feeling so hurt and blah, blah, blah. Let's work on it. So if you can try to see other people's point of view, that's empathy, or even if you're boiling mad and you just got this wall up, try to just sort of peek into their world a little bit. Okay, Gabby? Also, if you're criticized and you're being called names or whatever, when someone comes at you with criticism, it's easy to feel they're wrong. Nah, you get defensive and you start yelling. That's why you say, I argue and I get mad and yell back. And while criticism's hard to hear, and it may not be true for you, it's usually exaggerated, of course, because they have emotions. It's important for you to listen to the other person's pain. Again, and respond with empathy. Because they're hurt. You know, they're trying to communicate with you that they're hurt. So you got to look what's kind of true with what they're saying and how you're coming off. And that can be really valuable information for you. So don't put your defenses up and say, but you, and it's not a contest, by the way. Yeah, you're saying I do this, but you do this. Stop with the chess game of life, I always say to couples. Stop. Listen and say, okay, now it's my turn to kind of tell you how I'm feeling hurt. Again, this is not a contest, but you got to think about these things. And that leads me to a really important point, too, is own what's yours. Realize that personal responsibility is a strength, not a weakness. This is not a game. And I get this all the time from people who argue and have relationship issues. Well, if I show that I'm vulnerable, if I say, you're right, I screwed up, then they're going to take advantage of me. You know, what kind of feeling is, huh? Own it. Own it. I screwed up. I'm so sorry. I'm going to really watch it when I say those things to you in the future. I've really got to mind myself because I'm hurt and I just blurt. I'm hurt and I blurt. Okay? So if you both share some responsibility in a conflict and you look for and admit to what's yours, you're going to be doing better. It kind of diffuses the situation. You know? So it shows maturity. People go, when I'm vulnerable and I show my feelings and I say, yeah, I screwed up and all that, I'm letting my walls down and they can walk all over me. No, not really. Personal responsibility means you're in control. That is strength. That is not wimping out. All right? Now, being a martyr. No. I'm talking about owning what you've done, saying I kind of spoke out of anger and I regret some of those things I said. I just have this little person inside of me. That's that little kid fighting back. So I'm sorry I said that and I own it. But you don't have to own up to everything. If you really truly believe that, you know, what you're saying can be valid, you say that kind of hurts me and I don't agree with you, but you have your truth and I have mine. Bada boom. And use those I messages, Gabby. Yeah, not like you really screwed up. You're a jerk. No name calling and all that. You know, just say, I see that you're angry and PO'd at me. And I feel really frustrated and hurt when you start yelling. Yeah, it is much less likely to spark defensiveness. Try to find a compromise. Don't give up. Just keep working on it. And if you have to take some downtime, if you're heated in an argument, say, I'm not going here. I got to go out and take a walk. Or go into your room or close the door. Do something to just cool off a little bit if you guys are in a heated argument. So those are my quick and dirties for, you know, just sort of how to have more effective communication skills with your partner. Because that's the way to go. I really think that's the best way to do it. Okay? Gabby, thank you for emailing me. Here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, on LA Talk Radio, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And what I'm doing is answering your questions today. And they're dealing with a lot of general things that we all have to see and focus on and deal with every day. How do we work on certain common issues that we all have? I'm just throwing out some suggestions, ideas, things that have worked for folks in the past, things that I see are successful, things we have to think about. The way we feel, cognitive behavioral kind of stuff. Are my feelings valid? Well, yeah, all feelings are valid. But, you know, am I doing the right things in terms of interpreting what others are saying? Huh? Do I have old stuff lingering about myself that may not be true? Mm-hmm. Sure you do. We all do. All right, so we're talking about now the idea. Let me look here. We've got guilt, the big G word. We all feel it. We all feel it, I hope, because it's a good thing. Feeling guilt means, ooh, wow, it sort of keeps us in check. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. All right. So I have an email here from Jake who says, I don't know if it's from my parents who sometimes verbally abused me, but I always feel guilty about not being good enough or smart enough or successful enough. I'm always judging how I come off to other people, and I relive past interactions and situations I've had with people to see if I said the right things. So how can I get rid of self-doubt and beating up on myself? And this I hear a lot, Jake. So you're not alone on this one. So how do I overcome feeling guilty about not being good enough? Wow. That is we all have to overcome guilt. But like I said, guilt is good. Yeah, it can actually encourage us to have more empathy for other people so we can take corrective action and you know, we can improve ourselves. So we have to have self-forgiveness after we have guilt. It's really important to our self-esteem. And that's sort of the key to enjoying life and other relationships. You know what I'm saying? But it's really hard to have self-acceptance sometimes when we are always beating up on ourselves for years and years. And it can be really an unrelenting source of pain. I have a lot of folks who've come in to see me and they say, my God, I can't stop beating up on myself. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. You know, on and on and on. It's really difficult. But this kind of guilt is how I describe insidious. Self-destructive. It can sabotage your goals. It can sabotage your now. And it causes anger and resentment and, you know, not only at yourself but towards others in order to justify your actions. You see, this is kind of going deep here. But, you know, you've got to work on feeling better about who you are and being okay. Not being a jerk and a narcissistic, self-entitled person who thinks that, yeah, I can say whatever I want and I don't have to feel guilty about it. No, that's not what I'm saying. Guilt should be distinguished from shame. Okay? That's where you feel inferior, Jake, inadequate, or bad about who you are versus what you did. Okay? So when irrational and not absolved, guilt can lead to shame. Shame is not constructive. Instead of enhancing empathy and self-improvement, usually, Jake, it has the opposite effect. It leads to greater self-preoccupation like you have, and it undermines both the self and your other relationships. Okay? So just think about some of these things I'm saying, and there's no judgment coming from me at all. My gosh, we all feel guilty from time to time. We all beat up on ourselves, you know? So if you already have low self-esteem or if you have issues around shame, like I said, we all do, it may be really hard to concentrate on what it is you feel guilty about, but it's really necessary in order to get past it. And rationalizing or brushing it under the rug to avoid, you know, examining who you are and what your issues are may help temporarily. But you got to achieve self-forgiveness. You got to say, you know what, I screwed up. Wow, I beat myself up enough. And now is all you have. So if you keep looking over and over into the past about what you should have done or should have said, readjust yourself, find out what you learned from what you did that may not have been too cool or hurtful, and don't do it again. Don't repeat those things that you're going to feel guilty about. Now, learn what you did. Change it. Because beating yourself up only prolongs guilt, as I said. So, you know, you've got to just think about forgiving yourself and moving on. What did I learn from this? What did I learn? How can I be better? You know, that's what you've got to do. And you know what? Be okay with who you are and say, I was being real. I was keeping it real. I was nasty to somebody. I was hurtful. I shouldn't have done that. But I was clueless because that's all I knew how to do at the time. And I feel bad for that. go apologize to the person. Make amends. Say, I really screwed up. Again, like I was talking to Gabby earlier, you know, when you're trying to talk to your partner and make a communication thing work, you know, say, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You know, be a little more humble. But be humble to yourself. And, you know, there's this new, it's not new, but it's been out for, you know, not too long. It's called havening, H-A-V-E-N-I-N-G. It's a new therapy technique. Google it, Jay. It's about self-soothing. It's about making yourself feel better, you know, through certain bodily movements. Body and mind are really connected, you know. So sort of forgiving yourself, making yourself feel better about things you've done in the past, and allowing yourself to make mistakes and learn from them. And forgive yourself. So check out havening, because some of those techniques really work. I went to a really cool, actually intensive workshop last week on the techniques of havening. And it's just sort of like helping you really work through a lot of that guilt, beating up on yourself, uneasiness, things like that. Okay? Dr. Michelle here on the couch with you, as I always am, Fridays at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time in beautiful Los Angeles. But we're all over the world right now live, irreverent, entertaining, cool LA talk radio, as we always are, bringing the best to you here from the couch. We don't have a therapeutic relationship, but what I'm doing is trying to help you out with some of your stuff, making you feel better. And I'm reading your emails, some of the stuff that you've written me, helping you out on some of the most general issues that we all suffer from. So let's get to one that we all have, one of my favorites. And this comes from Heather, the big A word, anger. Heather says, I have heard that being able to express and vent our anger is good because we get it out. I've been having a lot of anger towards my husband, and sometimes it comes out to my kids who are going through their teens. Uh-oh. You're in trouble right there, girl. Just kidding. I guess my mom taught me how to express anger because it seems like she was angry every day. Sorry about that. But she said, the other day, my best friend said that maybe I should get a therapist to help with my anger issues. It kind of shocked me because she's always supported me with my frustration, and I've always been able to dump on her. Well, you have a good friend there, but maybe she's getting a little tired of, you know, hearing what you have to say, and she's just trying to help out, sweetheart. Lovingly say, maybe you should get some help for your anger. Okay. So she says, can you tell me why being angry is such a bad thing? And is it okay to let it all out? Okay, well, you know, we all have anger. It's normal, natural, you know. And we can't always control our situations or how it makes us feel. But we can control how we express our anger. You know, anger is a really normal, like, human being thing. It's okay. We feel hurt. We feel feelings. It's how we express it. We all blow it out and get crazy sometimes on people. Some of us just keep it in, and then we implode and have depression and anxiety, start to have palpitations and all that. But, you know, anger is really never getting angry is not a good goal. Like I said, it's normal, but it's better to try to manage it. It's called sublimation, you know. It's like understanding your underlying feelings and needs and developing healthier ways to, you know, express it. So try not to suppress it, but use it in constructive ways. And let me tell you why anger management is so important. Because they did tests a long time ago that showed that the more you scream and yell and let it out, as it were. Gee, I feel better now. You know, that rush of endorphins and all those wonderful chemicals going through your brain while you're screaming and yelling is great. You get addicted to that. But people don't really like you much because you become really nasty and hard to be with. So, no, it's not really good for you to blow it out at other people all the time. Although you feel good temporarily, You get in that cycle of the brain reinforcement of neural patterns that say, it's okay to get angry. So, in other words, it's reinforcing. The more you scream and yell and freak out, and it's not necessarily good, it's reinforcing that it's okay. It's not making you healthy because it does damage to your body and your mind, of course. And the truth is that anger is a lot more likely to damage your relationships. It impairs your judgment, gets in the way of success, and it, like I said, has a negative impact on the way people see you. And out-of-control anger, like I said, hurts your physical health. You know, constantly operating at high levels of stress and tension is bad for your heart. I mean, people actually, they've done tests. Chronic anger makes you more susceptible to heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, a weakened immune system, insomnia, and high blood pressure. Boom. Body, mind. Out-of-control anger hurts your mental health. It clouds your thinking, makes it harder to concentrate. You can't see the bigger picture and enjoy life. It can make you depressed, stressed, give you other stuff. Out of control anger hurts your career, right? Lashing out only alienates your colleagues and your friends, like your friend said to you, Heather, honey, maybe you better get some anger management therapy. Really? When your best friend tells you that, you know you gotta go. And I'm sure your best friend's willing to listen to you still and be there, but she's, you know, or he, your best friend, whoever that may be, is kind of like saying, trying to help you, kid. You know. So we really have to explore what's really behind your anger. So I would suggest, Heather, that you go to a therapist who specializes in anger management. Then you can kind of learn what's going on behind your anger. Why is your fuse so short? You know, I'm just going to tell you that it's a no-brainer that anger problems often stem from what you've learned as a child. Well, you said your mom used to be angry all the time, so there you go. If you watched others in your family scream, hit each other, throw things, freak out, that's what you learned. That's how anger is supposed to be expressed. So you learn it, okay? And also know this, Heather, that anger is often a cover-up for other feelings. Are you truly angry? Or is your anger masking some other feelings like embarrassment, insecurity, hurt, shame, vulnerability? It's kind of scary to feel vulnerable, huh? Yeah. So if your knee-jerk response in a lot of situations is anger, it's really likely that your temper's covering up your true feelings and your needs a lot of times. And this is especially likely if you grew up in a family where expressing feelings was strongly discouraged. And all you saw and all you were modeled, as I see here from your mom, was express your feelings by yelling and being angry. That's, you know, that's what you learned. Be a little nicer to yourself and find out what's really behind your anger. And I hate to go blame it on mommy and daddy. I don't like to do that because it's, you know, so, come on. But sometimes what we learn growing up in the environment is how we act. It's all we know. And it sticks with us until adulthood, into middle age, into old age, and we have unresolved issues. Unless we face our demons and find out what's eating us up. So thanks so much for writing me, and there's no judgment to you, Heather. Listen, all you know is what you learned and how to express yourself, and it's your best defense mechanism. I always say that we have anger, we have defensiveness, we have guilt, we have all these things for survival. Our brain learns how to survive, and, you know, even if we're in the best environments growing up, if we have great parents. A lot of people say, hey, my parents were awesome. My siblings were cool. Yeah, we fought normally, but we had a pretty good home. We go through life stuff sometimes. And actually, you know, it's how we survive in school. You know, a lot of us are teased. I was teased. Yeah, I wore glasses. I was four eyes in school. You know, we all get teased. And it hurts, so we grow up trying to defend ourselves. So, Heather, thank you so much for emailing me. I suggest that you do see a good anger management therapist and kind of discover more about you. Be okay with yourself. It's all right. You'll get through this. All right? Guys, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch here with me. And what I'm doing today is I'm answering a lot of your questions that I find are generally what I hear every day. The kind of problems we all have. Stuff that we all experience. What I try to do is help you learn that you're not alone. And I'm trying to give you some, you know, ideas of how to, you know, make yourself feel better. And this is not, you know, a therapeutic relationship between you and me. I'm not your therapist. I'm not telling you what to do. What I'm doing is giving you ideas of things that have worked for people in the past. I'm not saying do this. I'm disclaiming here, basically. These are just ideas, studies I've read about what might help people. Just help you feel a little better. And thank you guys for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So we're going to move on now. And this is from Alyssa. And we're talking about something that we all experience from time to time, most of us, and it's low self-esteem. So Alyssa said, I know that I don't feel great about myself. And I worry about what other people think about me. I'm constantly comparing myself to other people, just like me, who are around my age. I'm in my late 20s. Other people seem to be more successful, happier, better looking, and live the lives that they want. These things take over my thoughts a lot and make me feel unhappy. Can you give me some ideas about what I can do to be a happier person? Yep, I got some ideas. First of all, don't buy into the social media stuff. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody looks sexy. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's got lots of friends. Everybody's doing some cool traveling. Everybody's having the party. I mean, not really. We're all trying to make ourselves look better and feel better, and it's all a media thing. We're all our own advertising agencies. So don't buy into the social media stuff too much. Just be who you are. We're all trying to make ourselves look better than we are. That's what it's about. So it's okay. Just don't compare yourself with others. So we got to learn who you are. Learn who you are. And if you're okay with who you are, Alyssa, it'll make your life a lot easier. So text down some of the ideas in your notes right now. You listening? Ask yourself some questions. Here's what I always do to help people out. Kind of suggest some ideas to help folks out. Ask yourself, am I living as the person I want to be? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be? Do you want to feel less intimidated and have less low self-esteem and worry about what other people think? Are you living what you want to be? I don't think you want to do that. No, you're not. How much of the time do others see me as I really am? Now, that's a big, heavy question that you need to ask yourself. Because, again, you know, the social media thing, we all try to put it out there that we're, most of us, doing much better than we really are. It's a, you know, we're all our own ad agencies. That's what we do. So it's kind of like you got to get into the authentic parts of yourself. And not that you have to dump all your stuff onto people, but in other words, be who you are. Do you hide a lot of, you know, how you really feel lovingly to other people? Are you kind of like protecting yourself? Are you happy with what you're doing in your life? Are you doing things for yourself? Do my everyday activities and interactions bring you joy? Ask yourself those things. And what parts of yourself have you been ignoring and neglecting or denying? You know, a lot of us work. Oh, my gosh. So many people I talk to come into the office and tell me, I'm working 10 hours a day to stay in the company, to stay, you know, managing whatever my job is. This is what I hear constantly. And then they're terrorized on the weekends even because they're so overwhelmed with what they've got to do. And they're always on, you know, like 24/7, like doctors, you know, on call in their jobs. you got to make some time for you. You've got to be a little more great with managing your time. You know, if you're in a job that's really difficult and a lot of stress and you want to keep that job, you got to do things that make you feel better. No, not go out and drinking binges or getting stoned all the time. That's not going to, that's fine to chill out and all, but it suppresses a lot of your stuff. So you got to do things to take care of yourself, to make you feel better and make you feel healthier. Know that you're in control. When we're in control of our lives, we feel a little better self-esteem about who we are. So how do we get control? We're okay with who we are. We take care of our bodies. We get some exercise. We eat pretty well. We don't beat ourselves up. We have compassion for other people. We give a little bit. Maybe try to volunteer if you have some time to help other people out. It makes you feel good about you when you're helping other people. And what do you need to do to let go of in your life to finally feel free? What do you need to let go of? What's going on? Let it go. Let it go. It's all okay. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't, oh, I'm not successful enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. Plan what you want and start taking goals towards what you want in your life. Do things to take care of you. Get more in control of your life, Alyssa. It's okay. Don't, if you're really being overwhelmed with comparing yourself with others and how wonderful everyone is, and everyone has issues. It's not that everybody else is frolicking and having a wonderful time in life. It's really not. Everybody's got issues. We're all having stuff. So you got to take care of yourself, honey. You got to be more compassionate towards you. Not be a martyr. I mean compassionate. And figure out what you need to do or let go of to finally be free. Like I said, just think about it. And think about this. If you weren't worried about what other people might think or how they might react, what changes or decisions would you make in your life? Are you living your life for other people? Well, I have to be this way because I will be criticized. I will be, you know, pushed out of my family if I'm not successful enough, or if I'm not like a doctor like my sister, or if I'm not an attorney like my brother, or if I wasn't gay, they would love me more, or if I wasn't whatever. You know what? You've got to be authentic to who you are and be okay with it. So you get to find and discover who you are and what makes you feel good and follow those passions. Try to make a living of it. And if you have to make a living to earn money to live, cool. Do the best you can in the job you've got, but kind of pursue some of those passions. Make time for yourself to do that. And another scary tool that we use sometimes, and I say scary in therapy because you don't want to think about these things. But Alyssa, if you had 1 year left to live, okay, what changes or decisions would you make in your life right now? Whoop, whoa, wait a minute, hold on a minute, I'm going to be happier, I'm going to do more fun things, I'm going to try to enjoy, I'm going to make some money, but I'm going to have a lot more fun, I'm going to clean up some of my relationship issues. Yep, kind of snaps you into reality, doesn't it? Okay. So just, there's some ideas for you. And I really appreciate you emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. This is Dr. Michelle here on the couch with you on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time here in beautiful Los Angeles, every Friday. Or Saturday, if you're different parts of the world. You know? It's nice to have you with me, though. And I love all the feedback here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We don't have a therapy relationship, by the way, guys. I'm just giving you suggestions as to some of the healthy things people do in certain situations that we all feel. And certain, you know, kind of beliefs that we all have. Fears, guilt, beating ourselves up, anger. How to cope with all these things. So that's what I try to do to help you out and give you ideas. Not therapy. I'm not your therapist. I just heard one of the people outside the studio here go, "What? Really? Come on. Hey, be my therapist. No. Discover who you are and find out what works for you. Got to get there, though. You know. Excuse me. All right. We're going to look at Matt here. Matthew, I assume. Matt, whatever. Matt asks a great question. I always hear this. Matt says, I always like reading self-help and spiritual books about how to be a happier guy. Can you tell me some of the basic things that can help me become more satisfied with who I am? Or become a happier and more peaceful person? The age-old question. How to be happier. What's happiness for you? Matthew, you have to define what's happy for you. Happy's different for everybody. You know, there's no thing that I can say that applies to every single human being on this earth. What makes you happy? What kind of things do you like to do? What gets you charged up? Think about it. So let me just throw some generals out there. These are some of the things I suggest to people just to help them become a little more happy. All right, ready? Be thankful that you woke up every morning. I know that sounds really weird. If you develop a childlike sense of wonder towards life and you focus on beautiful things out there in your world, I know some of us live in the cement jungle. There's no trees. We wake up to the crowds and the traffic and the sirens. Thank God I woke up today. Make the most of each day. Do not take anything for granted. And do not sweat the small stuff. Okay, Matt? Don't sweat the small stuff. Is this worth getting stressed over? Nah. Okay? Learn to choose your friends wisely. Sometimes the people we surround ourselves with greatly affect us. Find the folks around you who share your values and goals. Okay? Find the friends that help you feel good about who you are. Find out friends who are true and honest with you. We'll lend you a helping hand, who keep it real. That makes us happier when we have a support system. And if some of our family members not really nice to us and are not supportive, that's cool. Huh. Find friends who will be supportive. Always learn things. Keep up to date with what's going on in the world. Yeah, I know it's yucky, a lot of negativity. It's all about negativity out there in the political news. But find out more about things that have sparked your interest. Like, yeah, I don't know, whatever it is. If you want to learn how to ski or surf, if you want to go skydiving, yeah, I know. Go for it. Do it. Learn things that you always wanted to learn. Makes us feel good about ourselves. Makes us happier. When we kind of do some things that we haven't done, makes us feel more in control. That's the key. Wow, I did that. Good for me. Pat yourself on the back. Wow, I always wanted to skydive. Saved up some money and did it. I'm so cool. What a rush. Things like that. No, I'm not saying, Matthew, go skydiving. Please don't do that. Don't say, yeah, Dr. Michelle told me to go skydiving. And I'm suing her. I'm saying do things that make you feel better. If you're terrified of heights, don't do that. Do things like learn how to dance. Learn more about physics. Get more spiritual. Whatever you want to do or have always wanted to do, take little baby steps to going towards those things that make you feel good. Okay? Put it out there. Learn. Help people. That's another one. If you kind of give and help people, those who are less fortunate than you, you always feel better about yourself when you can contribute to society and do something. Or if you're an animal lover, volunteer to help animals. Whatever it is, whatever your cause may be, whatever you may feel like you could help others with and it may make you feel good, believe me, there's nothing more gratifying than helping others in need or little beings that can't tell you. Four-legged beings. You know, so it's always great to reach out and help. Just take the time to relax. Give yourself some anti-anxiety, you know, whatever it is, stress busters. Yoga. Okay, you don't like yoga? Cool. Go hiking. Go rock climbing. Get out in nature. Just take a walk. Get out wherever you can. Go out, drive out in the country. Get in the burbs. Take a walk. Get out there. Look at everything and really appreciate everything around you. Okay? Be proactive. Okay? Happy people do not usually waste energy on circumstances beyond their control. Accept your limitations. Sometimes we all have limitations. It's okay. Determine how you can take control of your life and doing the things you want to do. Create the outcome you want. Do things for you. Take good care of yourself, your mind, body, and health. Get regular checkups, eat healthy, work out, no-brainer stuff. And one of my favorite things, one of my hobbies, get some sleep, for God's sakes. You got to get through those little brain stages several times a night so you can relax your brain. Got to get into REM. You got to get into that deep stage of Delta and REM. A little lighter stage, REM, actually. But it helps heal you. Get more sleep. Because when you are rested and have more sleep, you do, believe it or not, you can have a little more control over your feelings and emotions, the sadness you have. And of course, it's good for your body. You feel better. You feel more self-confident. You feel like, I'm refreshed. There's nothing like being refreshed. And another thing about happy people, I just want to lay this on you, one last little boom, Matt. Happy people take responsibility for their life. Yeah, stuff happens outside us. Yeah, we can't be responsible. Although a lot of law of attraction people would say, you're responsible for creating that car accident, for that person who came out of nowhere and ran into you. Maybe, I don't know. But when you can be responsible, I don't know about that. Stuff happens sometimes. And what I say is stuff happens because we need to learn a lesson about being more aware. Sometimes we just we can't be aware enough. And stuff happens. But, okay, so what can we learn from it? We can be more aware. We can take responsibility for our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, and our words, and our attitudes. And if we can be first to admit that we've made a mistake and say, so sorry, I was just reacting. That's okay. Being vulnerable is good. Being vulnerable, as I said earlier, helps you feel a little more in control. Not the other way around. A lot of people have it the other way around. Not true. So, Matt, thank you for asking about finding more peace and happiness. It's a big, huge, hairy subject, and you just have to find what makes you feel good. But you can start by, you know, taking responsibility for your happiness and develop habits, good stuff for you to take care of you. You know? And just have schedules. Take care of you. Take more control. Chill out a little bit more. Relax a little bit more. That's what I always say to people. You know, we can really help ourselves when we make a decision to take care of who we are. And as I always say at the end of the show, take care of yourself first in all those ways that I've just mentioned. And you'll be better for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I thank you guys so much for being on the couch with me today. Thank you for writing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Hope I helped you all out. We don't have a therapeutic relationship, you know, guys. But if I could give you suggestions and ideas on what can help you based on statistics and studies and just some ideas, you don't have to do anything I suggested. Not at all. you can just listen and get some great self-help books. And I always say, do talk to a professional if you're really feeling sad and you need a lot of help with certain issues that we talked about today. Anger, guilt, depression, feeling low self-esteem, all that good stuff that we all have, by the way. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. As always, had a fun day, and I appreciate your feedback, guys. Listen, next week, we're going to have a fabulous guest on. Probably one of my favorite guests I've ever had on the couch here. His name is Ray Spencer. He served 20 years in prison for a crime he did not do. He wrote a book about it. It's coming out. And we're going to talk about it exclusively here on LA Talk Radio next week at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye now.